good. I thank God for all that He's doing. He's always working. I'm thankful to be in His house. You know, every time that a pastor preaches a message, I think that it's a miracle because you have no idea what tries to come up on the pastor before they get behind the pulpit. You have no idea the frustration or the irritation or the fear or the worry or the anxiety that will try to come over your pastor before. And you know what you got to do? I got to do what everybody else has to do and just say, devil, you're not getting your way here with me. Devil, I'm not going to be afraid of the thing that God told me to do. Devil, I'm going to do this. See, and you're going to get to sit here, devil, and watch me do it, because that's your punishment from now through eternity, is you get to watch me do the thing that you tried to talk me up out of. And so you know what? Though there be few in here, and I loose the power of healing right now in this place, I loose the anointing, and I bind up the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion is up in Logan County so thick, and I'm going to tell you, God is sick of it. God is sick of the spirit of religion that wants to roam these streets. Look here, what does religion do? Religion tries to cast out good people. Maybe they didn't wear the right thing to church. Maybe they ain't got everything cleaned up in their life. Let me tell you something, that's religion, and religion will kill folks. That is religion. Religion sends people to hell every day. Why? Because it's the adulterated version of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. Jesus Christ don't care what you come up in here wearing today. Jesus Christ don't care that sin is still prevalent in your life. He knows He's going to work it out of you if you keep coming to hear the preacher. But let me tell you something. I ain't into religion. I've watched it my whole life, and I've had my fill of it. And by golly, we were talking about goals this morning. And I thought, what is my goal? Oh, when 2020 hit, I thought, my goal is I am going to kick the devil's butt. Yep, I said it. I'm going to kick that devil's butt. And that is not the politically correct version of that, but I promise you that version could get worse. But let me tell you something. The devil's got it coming. The devil's got it coming. Why? Because I'm sick of what he's doing to people. See, you really love people? Get over yourself. You really love people? You really want to see them get saved, healed, delivered, their families back together, their finances put back together? Look here. That happens one way. It's Jesus. It don't happen by any other way. The title of this message this morning is From Daydreaming to Reality. From daydreaming to reality. Now, God has called each member in the body, and He's placed them as He sees fit. As He sees fit. He knows which church to plant you up in. How many of you got people that you know they happy and they're in church? Raise your hand. See, this ain't a spectator sport. We all voting this morning. You leave those people alone.
That's right.
I said you leave those people alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because true evangelism is not trying to pluck somebody that God Himself planted up in a church. You can't pluck them out and plop them up in your church. Let me tell you something. The moment you start doing that, their blood is on your hands. You don't want to do that. So from the leadership, from the pastor to y'all, I'm telling you, don't do that. But what I'm telling you is this right here. How many of you know there's somebody in your life that you know? It may be the mail lady. It may be your mama's sister's cousin's brother. Yeah, that's how we do in Arkansas. But they ain't going nowhere. Y'all know anybody like that? That's called true evangelism. Go get them. Bring them in here. Show them what's going on. Now, here's what God showed me. God showed me, thank you, baby, for whoever's amening me. I'll take it. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to be a deacon or something real special one day. You keep amening me. You're on the right track. Yeah. He's got good taste. But God showed me, he said, Kelly, my people are sitting in their pews week after week, and here's what they're doing. They're daydreaming about the thing that I'm telling them to do, and they're having a problem busting up out of that into reality. See, people will daydream about, angel, we'll daydream about things that we know God wants us to do. We'll daydream about having a bigger, better, whatever life, a God-filled life. But when it comes through, you don't think that I see, man, can I just be very real? I mean, it can get realer. You'll be surprised how real this gets. I mean, really. I just tell it like it is. When I'm up here, there are times when I'm sitting in my house and I see things and I daydream about me preaching a certain way. Now, look here. My preaching's good, but the way God has a higher level. When these singers, when they get up here and sing, you don't think that they don't imagine themselves doing it somehow different and better? They do. Truth or not? True. See, the devil likes to get people psyched out to sitting there where they're daydreaming about it. Look here, that daydream, the thing that you're daydreaming about doing for God, he put that up there inside of you. He showed you that. You know how many visions I have when I prepare a message and I'm sitting here and I'm praying and God will show me a service before that service ever happens. Dale, sometimes I got the guts enough to let it happen and sometimes I'm afraid. Now look here, if your pastor can say that, we're going to have some freedom up in here. You know why? Because if I got that fear, there's a chance somebody else has that problem also. There's a chance. And see, God wants to take that daydreaming and he wants to convert it into reality. He wants to take that life where you're sitting there thinking, if I could only have this. See, God wants that out of you and God wants you living up that abundant life that he's got for you. And I'm not talking about money. See, everybody, oh, there she goes talking about money. Nope, look here. Abundance. I'm talking about going to bed, sleeping in peace. That's abundance. And y'all know that's true if you have trouble sleeping because you don't got peace or you're frustrated or you're concerned about this, that, or the other. See, abundance is so many things. And God said, I've come that you'd have life and I've come that you've had it in abundance. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people, get ready. Get ready. I'm here this morning to tell you to get ready. Get ready. See, get ready for what? Well, get ready to do that thing that you've been daydreaming about. Get ready to do what God showed you you can do. Get ready to have what God told you that you can have. Get ready to live the way God told you, the way God showed you that you can live. See, it's not just enough to daydream about something. See, God put that thing in your heart. He wants it to come out of there. He wants it to come to pass. And so he says here, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them. See, there's a place in your life, a place of freedom, a place of goodness, a place of prosperity, a place of peace, see, that you've got to cross over to, and God's saying, get ready, quit looking this away. Oh, it ain't, that can't happen because of this over here. Or that can't happen because of this situation over there. No, it can happen for the pure reason God said it could happen. If he said it, that needs to be enough. If he said it, that needs to be enough. For a lot of people, when God says something, it's not enough. Why? Well, we have something crazy up in us that wants to call Sally Sue and be like, now I think God wants me to have this. What do you think, Sally Sue? Can I ever have that? Can I ever do that? Look here. Sally Sue is hit or miss. Did you catch Sally Sue on a good day? Does Sally Sue like you? Or is she faking? Sally Sue may not come up into agreement with what God told you you could have. You don't need to ask her. If God told you that, you just need to say, okay, God, You said it, and I believe it. And it says, I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place where you set your foot. I will give you every place that you set your foot. I'm waiting for an amen because I'm waiting for somebody to get up a hold of that. I will give you every place that you set your foot. You know what I started out in 2020 saying, Aunt Sharon? This is going to come off very cocky, very arrogant. That's okay. I started off 2020 saying, God, give me Logan County. God, give me that town. Because, God, I'm turning it around for you. God, I've given you the town. You know what? I believe that when I go up into the jailhouse, I believe that God has given me an anointing to capture every attention span. I believe that when I lay my hands on them women up in there, that God has the power, not me, but God has the power to set them free. Now, let me tell you something. 2 or 3 months ago, God put something in my heart, and I began to daydream about ministering to people at the jail. And you know what? My own silly self, I kept saying, I'll call the sheriff. I'll do this. Look here. We're full of it. True or not, Mama Kay? We're full of excuses. I will do what God showed me when I get good and comfortable. You ain't never going to be comfortable doing probably what God told you to do because God's going to call you up out of that comfort zone and he's going to get you to doing things that you never thought that you could do. Why? Because God is constantly trying to show you how good that you are. He's constantly trying to show you that you can do it. He's constantly trying to show you that you're the apple of his eye. See, why did Jesus say, now these things that you see me up here doing, you're going to do them and you're going to do them greater. That's true leadership. Jesus Christ, look here, Jesus Christ himself acknowledged that, hey, when I go to the Father, these things that you're seeing me do, you can do them, you will do them, you're going to do them greater. You're going to do them greater. See, what is it that you think Jesus did on this earth when he was here that you can't do? That's what you got to ask yourself. Did Jesus have limits when he was here? No, he didn't. When it gets down to the nitty-gritty, we like to limit God and we like to say, now, I could not do that because of such and such. God is not worried about your limitations. Because when you give God your life, the limits come off. God ain't calling people that's equipped. Many that he calls, they ain't got a clue what the heck. He's equipping those that he's called to do it. See, you think God's messed up about you can't do such and such? God ain't messed up about it, you are. God ain't messed up about that, we are. We get in our head. And he says here, I'm going to give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea on the west. And no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. All the days of your life. All the days of your life. You think somebody can stand against you if you're walking in God's will? They can try. They can try. God will remove that. And I don't mean God has to be ugly to that person. God can pick them up out of your life and put them over here and bless them over there. He can also pick you up and put you over here. Look here, God gets that we have issues getting along with folks, okay? He gets it. Now, I'm a real preacher. I'm not going to preach. I don't have issues with some people because I do. My kids. I'll tell you this, Friday was a crazy day for me. Because I'll tell you what happened to me. Friday, see, I've been having this vision, and it's been on my heart to minister at the jail. And I just said, I'm going to eventually talk to the sheriff. I will eventually do that. I don't want to bug him. He's busy. That's called Excuse 101. blame it on the other person. They're so busy, man. They don't want to hear from me. I just happened to be in the right place at the right time and just bumped shoulders with him, and he said, come here. Why don't you come up there and minister to them women up in that jail? Really? God? Was that you? See, God knows we're full of it. And we're full of more than one it. Okay? Now, Friday, here's what happened to me Friday. Because, see, not only will we give God excuses to not do what he's told us that we're going to do, but we'll also come up with reasons why not to do them at the last minute. And if you really get in a good groove with the devil, he'll help you come up with some reasons. Because he don't want you doing that thing either. So Friday, I try to have one day a week because I've been working 7 days a week. I'm trying to make myself not have an insanity moment. So I'm trying to get myself where I'm off one day a week. I decided this week it was going to be Friday. Kind of semi. I've always got to do something. It's just, I'm a workaholic with some things. So I get up there in a beauty salon, and I'm trying to get my hair done because I'm trying to relax because I'm very high strung. I know that's a stretch. But I'm very high strung. So I got up in there. Y'all women has ever got your hair done. I mean, if you got any hair whatsoever and they're full of that, that's a time-consuming thing. I got up in there and she finally got done with that. Finally. And the moment she got done with that and this stuff and this foil's on my hair and I look like an alien, the school called me. Here I am sitting there and I'm like, I picked up that phone. They go, Miss Kitson, you're going to have to come up here and get Carson. He done busted his head open. He is bleeding everywhere. He needs to go to the ER. And I'm going, don't even mention the word ER and blood to me because I'm a hypochondriac. I will overreact to anything. I mean, if you're opening up a can and you start that bleeding and you cut yourself, I'm going to overreact about that. I don't like that kind of thing. So I'm sitting there, and I said, you're going to have to take this up off of my head. See, that's why I got some orange up in there today. That's what kids do. They take that good-looking hair, and by the time you're done having your mommy face, you looked all kind of ways, I guarantee you. So the whole time I'm rushing down there, and I'm saying, now, God, you know I can't go up in there in that jail. Me. I mean, my kid's got blood gushing up out of his head, and I'm sopping wet. My hair is sopping wet, and I look like a hot mess, and I ain't going up in that place looking like a hot mess, and my kid, God, did I mention that my kid's got blood coming up out of his head right now? God. So I get there, and I get Carson Paul. And people's wishy-washy, and I'm like, should I take him to the ER? I mean, y'all's the professionals. Well, you can't get them to give you a straight answer. And I called my mama. She's an RN, and I talked to her. Then I began to talk to God. See, I began to talk to God. And I began to say, God, now, I have an excuse not to do this today, because let me tell you something. I've watched one too many episodes of 60 Days In. That was the thought of going up in there. That was kind of intimidating to me. I could probably talk to a million people and not be sweat one drop. But, man, I mean, I was nervous. And I began to talk to God, and I began to say, now, God, I can't do this. What kind of a mother would I look like if I didn't watch my child like they told me to watch him? And God began to speak to my heart. He said, Kelly, I've called you to do this, and I need to know, are you going to do this in the worst of the worst? Are you going to do this no matter what? Amen. God, yes, but Carson Paul's head, Lord. God, don't you care about that baby's head? said, I'm going to take care of your kid. You go take care of my kids. You go take care of the ones that don't know about me.
Yes.
And I finally got good and full of the Holy Ghost, and I said, God, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. God, I'm going to stop daydreaming about such and such, and I'm going to go do it.
Amen.
I said, Brenda, here's Carson Paul's insurance card. Now, if he starts seeing two of you, Brenda, if he starts doing something crazy that's abnormal for Carson Paul, I'm going to need you to take him to the ER, okay? And then if you have to do that, I'm going to need you to call the sheriff's office and just call them and tell them to get me up out of that pod. Whatever a pod was, that's just where they told me I'd be. You call them up and you tell them to get me up out of the pod, okay? And then I went there. When I went, power of God just began to come down. And I looked them in the eye and I said, God cares about you. God cares about you. God sees right where you're at. God knows right where you're at. God loves you. God has not turned his back on you. The devil has tried hard today to steal this moment that you could feel the presence of God. He's tried so hard to steal that from you, ladies. But let me tell you something. God cares about you so much that he sent me in here after having an awful day with my kids and all this stuff. He sent me up in here to tell you how much that he loves you, to tell you how much that he cares about you, to tell you that he wants you to have a better life, to tell you that he wants you to have a new life. See, you got to get to where you're daydreaming about something, and you stop that daydreaming about it, and you just get out there and do it. Do you got lots of excuses not to do it? Yes, you do. Are some of them relevant? Yes, they are. But look here. You either going to sit and daydream all day, or you just going to get up and do it. See, we in the last days, there ain't time to sit around and piddle around. It's time to get real. And so he said, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do you want to be successful wherever you go? Look here, you're going to always have critics wherever you go. Wherever you go, there's going to be somebody who wants to give their opinion about you. Stop answering those critics. Just be you. Just be who God told you to be. See? I've been telling God here lately, God, shut them up. They are talking smack about your kid. I'm your kid, God. What are you going to do about so-and-so? And God said, Kelly, I tell you what I'm going to do about them. I'm going to get you to the point where you don't care what they say. You're just doing what I told you to do. That's what I'm going to do about them. People going to always talk. You see this skin? They say approximately it weighs 6 pounds. And it needs to get thicker. Because when God calls you out, and he's called ever all of you out, and when he's called you by name, he called you all by name. You're going to have to get the thick skin to do what he called you to do. Amen? All right. And he says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged, for the Lord your God is going to go with you wherever you go. He's with you. He's with you wherever you go. Don't be terrified. Don't be scared. Don't be intimidated, and don't be belittled. He's with you wherever you go. That's why you can go wherever he tells you, and he says, everywhere you go, I'm going to give you that. See, wherever you go. Problem is, a lot of us don't want to go. We like to act like we're going to go. We like to look like we're going to go. And at the end of it, we're just going to sit there. Nope. See, we're in a different time. We're in a different time. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord and he answered me See, what is David doing? He sought God. What did God do? God answered him. And he delivered me from all my fears. See, there was a deliverance that went on there. I sought God. God answered me. And then God did another thing. He delivered me. He delivered me. See, fear is a spirit. That's why it says in God's word, I have not given you that spirit of fear. But I did give you a spirit of power. I did give you a spirit of love. And I did give you a spirit of a sound mind. Why did he do that? Because he knew we would have trouble with keeping our mind clear. With keeping our mind full of peace. Psalms chapter 56 and verse 3. And it says, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. When I'm afraid, God, I'm going to trust in you. God, when it's not looking good, I'm going to trust you. God, when it's not sounding good, I'm going to trust you. God, when my family dynamic ain't good, I'm going to trust you. God, when my kids are acting dumb, I'm going to trust you. God, when people are turning their back on you left and right, God, I'm going to trust you. God, when everybody else is daydreaming about doing that thing that you put up in their heart, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to step out, God, in faith. And I know that the moment I'm stepping out, God, you're right there and you're meeting me in that place of faith. You think God expects you to do stuff on your own? He knows. He knows. We step out, he's right there. Draw near to me, I'm going to draw near to you. Draw a little bit closer, I'm going to draw a little closer. A lot of people don't want God up in their grill. They think they do. Till God comes in and says, now I want to change such and such. You're like, oh, no. God, that is my favorite sin. I don't want to give that up. I then gave you these other things. I'm keeping this. God's going, you moron, that's the thing that I wanted most. That's the thing I wanted you most. See, I really do believe we're living up in the last days. Why? Because there's a lot of wickedness going on. Amen. Read your Bible. People fighting with each other. People judging each other. People waging wars with people. Coronavirus. I mean, I thought that was beer when they were talking about that. I'm like, Corona what? That's a virus? They couldn't come up with a better name for that for people that's got a little brain issue. I mean, come on now. I'm like, man, y'all keep going to China. I don't want that corona over here. You keep that over there. Look here, read your Bible. What does it say about the last days? What is God telling you to do? So when I'm afraid about that, God, I'm going to trust you. I tell that girl, I said, nice, sweet dispatcher lady, are you going to watch me up in there? I mean, I feel like you need a couple people watching me because, I mean, how many in there is there? God, are you sure you wanted me to do this? See? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I do, Kelly. Get yourself up in there. Because, see, you ain't no better. You ain't no better, Kelly. See, we don't like to get in the nitty-gritty of some things because we think, oh, I'm past this or I'm whatever. I've heard people say, I'm above that. No, you not. Let's just keep it real. You're not above it. You may be below it, but you're not above it. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 4. Why are we talking about this today? Because, see, God wants to talk to people about their fears. What are you afraid of? All you got to fear is fear itself. I was doing a speech in junior high, Holly, and I was telling Dad, now I've got to publicly speak. That's what I'm doing for the FBLA, Dad. We're going to have to come up with something real snazzy. What is it, Dad? He goes, I got one for you. He's always coming up with something for me. I said, he goes, you tell them all they got to fear is fear itself. And I don't know what I talked about in that speech, but I said that about 10 times and I won. I mean, who could resist a kid that would say that? Not me. Really. It's called something. Chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to me. See, God's word came to you. God's vision came to you. See, the daydreaming, what is that daydreaming exactly? Is that God trying to tell you, look here, now here's what I want to do with you. Can I do it? See, God's not going to come up into your life and ramrod you. It's not what God does. You got something called a free will. God ain't coming up in there and be like, now look here, you're going to do this. Now look here, I've done things just willingly. The first time God's asked me to do them, Andy, and it went great. I've also, God's told me to do certain things, and he had to tell me and keep telling me. And God will get you where you're more agreeable. But see, at the end of the day, God ain't coming up in there whacking you every time that you don't do what he tells you to do. That's not how God operates. God waits patiently. He gives you time. He lets you figure out your way ain't the best way. See, we worried about our family members. We worried about the people that we love. We worried about our kids. We worried about all this stuff. Look here. Give them over to God. See, the same God that saved you, the same God that helped you, he's going to help them. You got to back up from them. Some of us were like, oh, the first thing I said when Friday came around, I better not find out somebody pushed him down. The hairdresser goes, what are you going to do if you do find out somebody pushed him down? And I said, I don't even know, but it won't be good. We get there. There's a second grader as big as me, okay? No kidding. She's this tall. What happened to my Carson Paul? Well, she pushed him down. She pushed my baby down? She's big as me. What? Okay, God, I'm not going to show out. I want to show out, God. But I know you got Carson Paul. Now, look here. I'm not saying I will not show out. If he gets pushed down anymore, it's not going to be good for nobody. But, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I trust what you're doing. God began to remind me of all the things that my parents did when I was a kid. See, back in the day, the government didn't force you to have health insurance, and we didn't have it for a very long time. I would be horrified not to have health insurance now, wouldn't y'all? I mean, they made it be like, you got to have that or you're dying tomorrow. See, we went our whole childhood and we didn't have it. What we had was two parents that would just do whatever God told them to do. I was driving there, and I kind of half felt guilty. I thought, God, am I doing the right thing? And he said, yeah, you are. You're putting me first. Before that was your kid, that was my kid. You don't think I'm going to watch out for him and make sure he's all right? Yeah, I'm watching out for him. Kelly, trust me and do that thing that I've called you to do. Do that. And so the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. See, if you've been in church your whole life, like I have, you may go through a season where that doesn't become as intimate to you as it should. But he says, before you were ever even conceived, I knew you. See, that's a God that really cares about his people. To get to know them before they're even conceived. Yes. To take an interest in them before they ever even existed. Yes. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. See, what do you do with things that are set apart? You put them over here because they're special. See, God has took the time to know you from the beginning of time. And then to not only know you, but to grab you up and say, now look here, Sharon's got a big plan. I'm setting her over here. See, God knows the very moment that we'll just say, God, it's whatever you say. What does he do? He just sets you apart. He just sets you apart. Why? Because he realized before you were ever born that you was going to do something with your life. He knew you could make a difference. He knew you could make an imprint. He knew what time of time to put you up in. Aren't you glad he didn't put you way back in the day when they didn't have no air conditioner? Okay? They didn't have them diets when they ate too much to get you skinny by summer. See, they didn't have that. See, when you get to feeling sorry for yourself, you need to thank God for some of the little things that he's done. Because look here, if you're not tan enough, they got tanning beds for that. Now, I'm not the pastor that's going to be like, if you tan, you're going to go to hell. No, I'm not going to tell you that because that's not what I believe. Okay? I believe people need to stop being so religious. And you can tell a religious person by this right here. Every little thing that person is wrong. They sinning and they going to hell. Man, a Christian, they don't do that. A religious person, they will. Religious person sending everybody to hell. We need to thank God he ain't religious. We'd all be in trouble. No, a Christian person says this right here. Look here. If whatever that other person's doing ain't right, it ain't none of my business. And God'll talk to that person. See, God ain't put us in the place of a judge. God put us in a place higher. He says, you know what? Stop judging them and go to loving on them. Stop picking out their faults and just go to accepting them. I mean, people all the time, they want to dispute what true recovery is. They want to dispute what true Christianity is. They want to dispute this and they want to dispute that. I'm doing that less and less with people because it's a waste of my time. I ain't running with that anyways. I ain't running with religion. I'm running with God. Amen. And it says, before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. See, God hasn't changed his mind about you. God hasn't given up on you. God don't care that it's taken you years to get to the point where you're going to just say, okay, God. God knew it would take that. He just waited. He waited. See, a lot of us, we like, if I don't get that house that I want, that's okay because I got another one lined up. If I ain't get that job I want, I got another idea lined up. Look here, you need to quit having all these plans about plan B, C, D, E, and F. And you just need to figure out, what did God say to you? Because see, God don't just got any house for you. God's got the house. God don't just have any person for you. You mess that one up, you're going to be messed up. God's got the right one. The right one where y'all aren't going to kill each other. Dad told me, you're going to have to marry somebody that's going to let you get away with a lot of stuff. Man, when Jeremy leaves the Fayetteville, I start praying. Lord Jesus, God in heaven, protect that sweet man. Lord, don't let him get a flat. Don't let nothing else happen to him. Because God, that is the one for me. Because I get away with some stuff. And ain't nobody like Jeremy to overlook it. I'm like, now, babe, this is the thought I'm having. Is this crazy? And he's like, well, and he'll find a nice politically correct way to tell me that I am crazy. See, you can't just tell crazy people they're crazy. What does that produce? More crazy. You've got to come up with some other way to say that besides the obvious. See, God got the perfect thing. A lot of us, we don't want to wait for God. But what we got to realize is that God has waited for us so many times. He's waited patiently. And we got problems waiting at McDonald's. We got problems waiting on God to move. See, then we try to help God, and then we end up in a mess. And we're like, God, get me out of this mess. And God's like, I'm going to let you sit there and marinate for a little bit, so you don't want to do this to yourself the next time. See, because the next time is going to be a bigger, more serious part of your life, and I'm trying to get you not to mess that up. And it says, Ah, Sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. Look here. Here's Jeremiah. And God's telling him, now I have appointed you, dear sweet boy, to be a prophet. And you're just going to go to wherever I tell you to go, and you're going to tell them whatever I tell you to tell them. And he's going, nope, that can't be for me, God, because, see, I'm just a kid. Or, God, I couldn't do that. I don't have enough money to do that. God, I can't go say that, because then they'll think bad about me, and then when I go to the PTO ever, all the parents will look bad at me too. God, I can't do what you told me to do, because, see, that would make me stop doing that secret sin that I like, and, God, I still like that. See, we're always telling God why we can't do what he's told us we were called to do. See, sometimes we're telling God we can't do what we're called to do. Now, you can look at Friday, and you can say, well, that was just an action. She had a good reason not to go. No, it's called a calling. A lot of these little things that we do, they're making us up who we are. They're helping us get right smack dab right where we're supposed to be. And we're like, oh, I don't want to do that. I can't do it. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. See, look here. God is always trying to get people to stop talking bad about themselves. He's always trying to get people to not think the worst about themselves. Why? Because there's plenty of other people to do that for you. And he's trying to get you to believe that you're not the thing that you keep telling yourself. Well, I'm only a kid. I can't do that. He says, don't say that. I told you you could do it. I didn't ask you if you was a kid. He said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone that I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth. See, the Lord God himself, he told me to be a prophet, and I told him I couldn't. And then he talked some sense in me and said, yes, you can. Now stop talking smack about yourself. And then he reached down, and he touched Jeremiah's mouth. See, naturally, could this kid do it on his own? No. In a natural state, no. We've seen a lot of things go on, even just here lately, where it looked one way, but when God got done with it, it was totally different. For weeks, Keisha ain't here today. She's sick. Lord, heal her in Jesus' name. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I would say, God, what are you going to do about Keisha? This is troubling me. I don't think Keisha can do 6 months up in there. And see, night after night I would wake up. And then she would be on my mind. See, that's That's when God puts you in a church and your pastor wakes up in the middle of the night and your first thought is you. And you keep asking God, God, what are you going to do? God, in Jesus' name, God, I call down that favor, God, that can only come from you. God, I call down that provision that can only come from you. See? If you called to be here, you best be up in here. Why? Because you're going to be missing out on something. You're missing it. And I kept saying, God, what are you going to do about that? And it was troubling me. Why? Because, see, I'm the person that God put in her life to watch out for her soul. That's what God says about you, Pastor. And I was sitting there up in the jail. I ain't never been to jail before I started taking over the pastorship. I ain't never been to court.
Hallelujah.
And I've really got some experiences. Thank y'all. I sat there and I was horrified. I was thinking, I hope they don't get mistaken and take me with her. I mean, really. God, what are you going to do about her? What are you going to do about this? He kept saying, Kelly, go to bed. I'm taking care of it. Kelly, I'm going to make it work out. Well, God, they're saying, no, she's going to do that time. Because I don't care what they say. What do I say? What do I say? Well, we get up in there. Here's what they said. Your whole spirit is different. Your whole spirit. Everything about how you look is different. Guy pointed his finger at her from across the room. He said, you don't mess up this chance, you won't get another one.
Amen.
I was going, is he talking to me or you, Keisha? Because I ain't messing this up. I mean, whatever chance he's giving me, I'm taking it. Keisha, are you taking it? She goes, yep. But I said, Keisha, I'm going to be up your rear and around the corner if I even think you're messing up. See, God ain't called you to be afraid. God ain't called you to walk in fear. God ain't called you to limit yourself. God just called you to be you and to be the best version of you. He wants you to say, God, it doesn't matter that I'm a kid and that I can't talk and all this other stuff. God, will you reach down and touch my mouth today to get me to saying the right thing? See, God, will you reach down up into these hands, God, today and lay hands on somebody that needs a healing? See, it's not about you. It's not about really your mouth and your hands. See, those are God's hands. That's God's mouth. And when he finds a person that will just let him speak through them, he will reach down and touch your mouth. There have been 4 or 5 times in 2019, I was sitting there telling somebody that what for? I was really giving it to them, and the Holy Spirit just shut my mouth. See, God will reach down and touch your mouth, and he'll reach down and shut your mouth if you'll let him. Most of us taking a hand. Holy Spirit, don't get your hands off of my mouth. I'm saying that. I was like, God, forgive me for saying that. That must have been bad. Put your hand over my mouth some more. I like it. Amen? He said, but the Lord said to me, don't say that I'm only a child. You must go to everyone that I send to you and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, I put my words in your mouth. I put my hands on your hands. I put my feet on your feet and I'm taking you to where you need to go. Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and to tear down. See, at the beginning of the year, I said, God, I want to be an instrument for you. I want to tear down and uproot this spirit of religion that's so nasty up in this town. God, in Jesus' name, help me to change Logan County. God, help me to get these churches up in here to stop playing this church game where we're bickering all the time. And God, you just get us to be united together. God, in Jesus' name, help me to do it. God, help me not to walk in the flesh. God, help me to be kind to people. See? Because I'm daydreaming about being nice to folks, and sometimes I have a problem carrying it out. God knows it. He knows it. The best thing is, God knows that I know it. see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdom to uproot and to tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See, that's the kind of authority that God has given you. He says, look here, this thing, I don't like this thing. I never liked it. I'm going to use you to tear it down. I'm also going to use you to plant this. And when he's doing that, he already knows what he wants to do. He wants you to know that he can. That he can. He can do that thing. He can cause that to come about. It really has very little to do with you, other than you say, God, I trust you and I know you can. God, I trust you and I know you can. A lot of people walk in fear when God begins to tell them what he wants to do out of their life. It's intimidating sometimes. Now, the question that I have for you this morning is this right here. You may be comfortable still in your daydream. And that's okay. That's just where you're at. There's some of you, you keep daydreaming and you say, you know, if I could ever bust out of this and just do what I see myself doing when I'm sitting alone or when I'm laying in my bed at night, and if I could ever just break through and have the courage to do that thing for you, God, I would do it. See, there's a difference. There's people, they won't do what God's called them to do because they're letting that fear manifest and grow. There's the other type of people, they say, God, there's something lacking in here where I'm having trouble, but God, I want to do that thing that I keep seeing myself do. There's something in between there, God, and I'm asking you to help me. Now, if that's you in here this morning, I try to give everybody a response to react to the word of God that they were just given. Because, see, it's not enough to just walk out of here and not be any different. Now, if that's you today and you say, God, help me. God, I want to make this thing not just a daydream, but I want to walk in this reality of what you showed me to come out of my life, God, that you have for me. If that's you in here, I'm going to ask you to stand up. We're going to pray about that because, see, God is into you being at your fullest. God is into you doing that thing that you keep seeing yourself doing. He put it there. He put it there. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, you see every person, God, that's responded to your word this morning. God, I thank you that barriers right now, God, are broken down. God, every hindrance, God, every fear that they're not good enough, God, that they don't have enough, God, that they're not enough. God, I thank you that, Lord, that is gone in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. And Lord, I thank you for the courage, God, to do what they've been called to do that thing, God. And I thank you that we're stepping out of the daydreaming, God, and we're into the reality of doing these things for you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen.